to The Bridge Online. No matter where you're worshiping from, we are so happy to have you here with us. We have a great message for you today, so let's dive in.
Praise God. Hallelujah. That's good to be here Sunday morning. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I had a fantastic week. Amen. Conference this week was wonderful. And so for all of you that were able to be here, it was a fantastic time. In fact, it's been really a fantastic couple of weeks, if you consider it, with our outdoor service, 4th of July celebration outdoors, and then going right into conference. It's been busy, but it's been good. Amen. And so we need to thank some folks, because these things don't just happen, right? Like, it doesn't. I know maybe for some you come and it's just, it's all laid out. The outdoor service is laid out. The conference just goes without a hitch. And you would assume that those things just happen. Well, they don't. There's a lot of hands that have gone into making this really a phenomenal last couple of weeks. So I wrote down not names, but groups, because if I start to name names, I'll definitely forget someone. So this morning, we want to thank our worship team. Have they not done a phenomenal job? We want to thank all of those who were grillers and servers for our outdoor service, right, for the food. We want to thank all of those who did set up, whether you set up for 4th of July or whether you set up for the Connect Conference, right? Without them, we wouldn't have what we have. We want to thank our sound and media team. We want to thank our outdoor lighting crew, right? How about the outdoor lights and the patio? That took a lot of effort and a lot of work. We want to thank all of those who served during the conference, whether you served Coke and chips or ice cream or donuts. We thank you for serving us. We want to thank our children's church leaders, our nursery workers, and CEF for taking care of a lot of kids. A lot of kids. Right? All of you helped to make an amazing 2 weeks go without a hitch. Right? And so we as a congregation have been blessed. We've been refreshed. We've been renewed because of your wonderful efforts, and we thank you for that. But I want to give a special thanks to one particular individual, and that is Doug Nelson. You may have noticed that there's been some really amazing changes, especially here on the stage. And so I want to thank Doug Nelson for all of his hard work in leading the sound, light, and media upgrades. Listen, these speakers, these lights, the sound. Come on, let's give Doug. He's in the back working right now. I'm just going to tell you, there's a lot more to it than what you may think. A lot more to it. A lot of wisdom, a lot of understanding, as well as hard work. There were a number of nights where Doug was here literally until after midnight working, and then going to work, and then coming back and working in the evenings here. And so, not just him, but that he had a crew with him. And so we thank everybody who just makes this thing possible and allows us to really just come in and let the Holy Spirit move and refresh us and revive us. Amen. You may not know this, but when things are done with excellence, it creates an atmosphere for God to work. The scripture says clearly that God is not an author of confusion, and God doesn't work in confusion. In fact, confusion often stifles a work of the Holy Spirit. And so that's why hard work and effort and energy behind the scenes, so to speak, is so imperative, because it allows then for the people of God to come together and rest, and just kind of relax and open their hearts so that the Holy Spirit can move in their midst. And so a lot of great people, of course, have made that happen. We thank all of them. Amen? Praise God. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I'm going to preach on the hardest Sunday of the year, the Sunday after conference. So I need you to wake up and just help me out a little bit so we can just let the Lord speak. This is usually the hardest service to speak, because we've ate at a good table, right? I mean, we've had some great sermons. We've had some refreshing. And so it should be that you would come in on this Sunday and you're just like ready for more. But traditionally, you're thinking, who's this guy preaching? I want David Hamm back. But no, you got me. I'm back. All right. It's Pastor Doug. And so We're just going to dive in. We're going to speak to this morning on the living word. John chapter 1, starting at verse 1, if you're going to follow along with me. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now skip over to verse 10, please. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. These verses, of course, reference Jesus Christ. They speak about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Amen? And he is the living Word. This morning, when you hold a Bible in your hand, in one sense, you are holding Christ himself. Jesus is the Scripture. He is the living Word. In Christ is the ultimate expression of who God is. The book of Hebrews, it tells us that he is the express image of God, which means he is an exact representation of who God is. In the book of Colossians, it tells us that in Christ dwells the fullness or the complete picture of the Godhead. It doesn't mean that those things are diminished. God is not diminished in that. The Holy Spirit and his work is not diminished. But what it tells us is that in Christ is the completion or the fullness of all of it. Right? God saw fit to allow Christ to come as the representative of heaven, as the representative of the Godhead or the Trinity. Christ is, of course, the living Word. This scripture tells us that in Christ is life. In Christ is light. Through him, we are given the right or the authority to become the children of God. It is the only way to become a child of God, is in a relationship with Jesus Christ. It tells us that through Christ, we have the authority, the right. The New King James says right, but it really translates to mean authority. You have the authority this morning to be born again into a life of faith, a life of hope, a life of peace, a life of power, a life of grace, a life of truth. And like we heard a couple of weeks ago, we can know the truth, and that truth will set us free. So truth has a name. Truth is Jesus. Jesus is truth, and through him, we can be set free. Now, history teaches us that there is always these moments where the Word of God just begins to come alive in the hearts of people. And that's really what I want to begin to speak to you about for just a moment. It's this season of time where the living Word really does become living, not just in theory or idea, but literally in our own hearts. This can happen for us as individuals, and it can happen to us collectively as a church. That's great news, because this morning as you're hearing this sermon, you don't have to wait to see if the Bridge of Hope Worship Center is going to allow the Word of God to come alive for us as a congregation. You can choose today to say, I'm going to let God's Word come alive in my heart as an individual. Amen? And so it can happen individually or it can happen collectively. And I believe we're in a moment now in history where we need God's Word to come alive one more time. You see, we're told in the Old Testament that there will be a time in the last days where there will be a famine of the hearing of God's Word. You got to understand that. There won't be a famine of preaching. There won't be a famine of teaching. There'll be a famine or a lack of individuals who allow God's Word to penetrate their heart in such a way that it comes alive to them. We're living in that day. As your pastor, I don't want you to be a famished, starving, hungry people. I want you this morning to allow God's Word to come alive in your heart so that God's Word will feed you. Remember, Jesus said, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And today we're living in such a time. Now, this has happened throughout history. I want you to understand, I want to just lay it out very quickly, that these things have happened and the scripture points to it very clearly. In fact, in the book of Nehemiah, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Today when you go home, after you take a nap and eat fried chicken, I want you to read Nehemiah chapter 8 and chapter 9, and you'll hear or you'll read what I'm getting ready to talk to you about. Because it was in that time that the word of God comes alive and revival hits the land. You know the story. Nehemiah is sent, or by God, he is led by the Spirit of God to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls that are torn down, remember? And you read through the book of Nehemiah, and it's an amazing story of leadership. It's an amazing story of determination and work and focus. And Nehemiah gets a crew and he begins to work and they build the walls once again. But when that is ended at the end, it's kind of the portion that sometimes we don't pay as much attention to, but it's the last part of the book of Nehemiah. Do you know what happens? After all the work's done, after the walls are built, after the gates are hung, Nehemiah calls for Ezra and Ezra calls the people together. Ezra was the priest of that day. And Ezra calls all the people together of Jerusalem, and he begins to gather them, and he comes with the book of the law, and he begins to open up God's word, the Old Testament law, the books of Moses, and he just simply begins to read to them God's word. I want you to read this in chapter 8 and chapter 9 because it is amazing what begins to happen as God's word goes out and goes forth. The people begin to become attentive. They listen to what's being said. They begin to agree with what's being said. They begin to recognize that in many ways what's being said and the way they live is not exactly in line. And so they become interested and they seek after wisdom and they begin to ask questions and they begin to seek for understanding so that they can actually obey, not just listen to what's being said, but actually obey in their homes, in their lives, for their families, for their children. And ultimately, what you begin to see at the end of Nehemiah is revival. You see, the reality is, we've talked about revival in this church. We heard about revival from some of our speakers, but we're not going to have revival if we do not allow God's word to penetrate our hearts and come alive. There is no such thing as a true revival without a love for the word of God. They don't think, just like there'll be no revival without the Holy Spirit, there'll be no revival without a love, a people who love and are attentive to the word of God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and 35, write that down, read it as well, both chapters. We read this story of a young godly king named Josiah. He's a very young man when he's brought into the position of king. The nation of Israel at that time is, quite frankly, a spiritual mess. And so Josiah just begins to clean some things up. The nation had become corrupt, the people were engaged in rampant idolatry, and the temple, which would be considered like the house of God for us today, the temple of God has been desecrated. In fact, they were worshiping false idols in the temple. And so things were a mess, and they had allowed disorder and chaos and all sorts of things to enter into the temple. And literally, the temple itself was broken down. And so he just begins to order that the temple be rebuilt. Listen, what's amazing is they begin to rebuild the temple and they begin to go in and the altars were tore down and they started. And what they do, they find a copy of God's word. They find a copy of God's word and they bring it to the king and they begin to open it up and they begin to read the word of God together, the king and his delegation. And it begins to stir their spirit and stir their heart. And what you begin to see is if you really want a strong church, if you want a healthy church, if you want to build your church, build it on the word of God. Build it on what God's word speaks. Don't build it on music. Don't build it on preaching. Don't build it on children's ministry. Don't build it on welcoming guests. Build it on the word of God and everything else will begin to take care of itself and fall in place. And so you read this story, it's amazing because they just come alive to God's word. It's been there all the while, just like it was in Ezra's day. You see, it wasn't as if the word had just come. The word had always been there. It was the first five books of the Bible, the book of Moses, the book of the law. By the way, those first five books of the Bible are nothing compared to what you're holding in your hand this morning. Those first five books, as good as they are, don't have the power of what you possess in your hands today, because what you hold today is the fullness of God. It's the living word. It's the completeness of God. You have the Old and the New Testament. You know about the covenant. You know about the grace of God, the mercy of God, the goodness of God. You know about the Christ that came from heaven and came to earth and shed his blood. They didn't know any of that, but even those first five books had enough power to stimulate the heart of a few people and say, wait a minute, we've got to get in line here. We've got to begin to follow what God says. And as they do, there is transformation and revival that begins to take place. That's what God's word will do. Even if you just take a portion of the word of God, it has enough impact to bring transformation. As it's being read, they're all moved, and Josiah decides at that moment to make a covenant with God that he's going to follow the Lord. And the scripture says he follows the Lord all the days of his life. He decides that he's going to keep his commandments, but not only him, he's going to make sure that the people around him keep the commandments of God as well. And it leads to a momentary revival, a window of mercy for our nation. Let me tell you something, folks. We are on the verge of a very clear judgment. This nation will experience the judgment of God. If we don't, God will apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. We will experience the judgment of God. The only thing that you and I have left is to be the people of God, cling to his word, ask for his mercy, and trust that maybe, just maybe, because God is good and God is merciful, he will give us a window of time. That's all we have left now, is a window of mercy. And it is dependent on whether or not the people of God get serious about God's word and the things of God one more time in history. That's all that's left now. There is nothing going to stop the judgment of God that is coming, but whether or not the people of God get serious about the things of God. If they begin to humble themselves, repent, get serious, be real about God's word and what God's word speaks to them. Not just to hear it, but to obey it and follow it. That's all that's left. We're going to see judgment. The question is, how much time do we have? I don't know about you, but when I consider that, I think about my children. And I think about my children's children. And you and I could sit here today and say, well, I'm saved, I'm born again, I'm covered in the blood. God's going to watch me. He's going to keep me through everything, and he will. You're right. But have you ever considered the future? Have you become that selfish? Have we as a people become that self-focused that we could care less about the future for our children and for our children's children? God help us if we have. What we need now are a people who are willing to go back to the Word of God and allow it to penetrate our hearts, to have a willingness to say, God, I hear what you're saying. It's not just words on a page, but it's you. It's you speaking. It's more than a book. It's beyond that. It's literally Christ himself speaking. The word of the Lord came to a man by the name of Jonah. And God spoke a word to Jonah so that a broken and corrupt society would know that although they deserve judgment, that if they would repent and turn to the Lord, he would forgive them and heal their land. And I'm reminded of that this morning because I don't think we're much different than Nineveh today. But I'm so thankful that even though Jonah struggled and he fought and he kicked against the Lord, he ultimately went and he spoke the word of God to those Ninevites. And those Ninevites, as wicked and as evil as they were, they repented, they responded to God's word, they believed what God was speaking through the prophet, they proclaimed a fast, they put on sackcloth and ashes, which represented sorrow and repentance, and God did exactly what he said he would do. He turned from evil. He did not bring judgment, at least for a season. That's what we need today. But it all started with the word of God. It started with a word from God. It started with a man who was willing to bring the word of God to a wicked and a perverse and an evil people. It always begins with the word of God. You see, it's these moments in history when people start to take God's word serious. And when that happens, God says, I'll move. When my people take my word serious, I'll move. It could happen for individuals. It could happen for families. It could happen for churches. And as we're seeing, it can happen for entire communities and even nations. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 4, if you would, quickly. Hebrews chapter 4, I know you know the scripture. Don't close your ears to it. Listen to what the living word says. Hebrews chapter 4, starting at verse 11, it says, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." In context, the author of Hebrews is referring to Israel's unwillingness to believe and walk in God's promises to them. He's referencing the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. You can read it in context in the fourth chapter. What he's saying is God spoke. It was his word. God spoke through a man. He spoke through Moses. And he gave the people promises. He gave them direction. He gave them guidance. And the people chose not to believe God. They listened. They heard it. God gave them promises. They heard the promises. It wasn't for a lack of hearing. It wasn't for a lack of teaching. In fact, they most likely memorized what God had said. That would have been the culture and the time. They would have memorized it. They would have even spoken in some regard to their children. But they didn't allow the word to come alive in their heart. See, that's that final step that I'm speaking about this morning that's so important. And I think it's imperative for us as this congregation, because you hear the word of God. The word of God is preached from this place. And I know you. I know you listen to the word of God. You hear it through other preachers and other teachers. Many of you are reading the Bible and you're getting up in the morning. But that last step is so important. You've got to allow it to come alive in your heart. Because what happened with the children of Israel is the word of God was spoken, it was taught, it was delivered, but it fell on dead, stony ground. Do you remember the parable that Jesus taught? Jesus taught a parable about the word of God and the human heart. And he said, there's all kinds of different hearts. And really, the word is living. The word is alive. The word has power. But the question is what kind of soil is it landing on? And you and I can have such a stony, cold, indifferent heart. Oh, I've heard that. I know that verse. Oh, I've heard that preached before. So-and-so preached that. And next thing you know, without realizing it, you're just listening. That's all. You're just listening and maybe memorizing and you're hearing. But it's not coming alive. It's not quickened. It's not finding good soil where it can take root, right? And bring true transformation and change. These people that the author of Hebrews is speaking about lived in a place where there were a lot of words about God, which is a time in which we're living today. There are a lot of words about God. There's a lot of teaching. There's a lot of preaching. There's a lot of discussion. But the living word was rejected. But I want you to remember that's exactly what John said of Jesus Christ himself. He says Christ was the word, right? He had life. He had light. He came into the world. And the world rejected him. Then he says he came in among his own and his own rejected him. Now that's a very vivid picture this morning. And you know the story that Christ came into the midst of the Jewish believers in Yahweh. They believed in God. They had the Old Testament scriptures. They believed the Old Testament scriptures to be the law of God. They had a religious system. They were honorable folks. They were living generally honorable lives comparatively. And yet the living word walks into their midst and they reject him. Why? Because they had created their own ideas, their own standards, their own belief systems. And now the living word comes. You see, that's the danger, folks, that you and I have being Christians and being overstuffed with the gospel. If you're not careful this morning, you can come to a place where you just create your own religious system. You don't even realize it. Like God's word can't literally speak to you this morning. You know, you can't. what I'm really trying to say is, when's the last time you just sat down with the Bible and allowed the Holy Spirit to bring it out of the page and pierce your own personal heart? Because that's what should be happening. Or the last time you heard a sermon and they're speaking and you're not thinking about, wow, that's, I know who that's for. I hope so-and-so's listening. I got to get so-and-so a copy of that sermon. I hear that a lot. Can I get a copy of that sermon? I want to give that to... And I get it, and I understand, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but has it penetrated your heart? Because you're not doing great good if you haven't allowed it to penetrate your heart. There's probably not any real value in trying to hope that it penetrates someone else's. Are you with me? And so the people had just come to this place with Christ where the living Word is walking among them. And they're just rejecting him. Just like, no, I've never done it that way before. No, this isn't how I was raised. This isn't how we've always done it. And so if you're not careful, we come to this place and you and I will do the same thing. There's no room for the living Word. There's no room for the active, relevant, real, on-time Word of God. And all of a sudden we start seeing this as kind of just like any other book, an antiquated book that, you know, yes, it has, there's great thoughts here and there's good guidance, but we're not seeing it the way God would have us to see it, which is a living Word. A Word that's alive, like the author of Hebrews says. He says, look, you got to be diligent about this. And you've got to understand that God's Word is living. It's alive. It's powerful. And what it means by alive is that you and I, you could read something. You could have been reading maybe in your devotion. And you read it and, you know, you just read it. And it's there and it just doesn't do a lot. But then sometime, maybe next week, you come back to it for whatever reason. Maybe the Holy Spirit is leading and you come back to it. And you read it again. The same text, the same thing, the same way. And all of a sudden, this time, boom, it comes alive. It's a bam, it hits you right in the face. Wow, how did I not see that? What? Was that there before the last time? Are you with me? That's the living Word of God. That's how God's Word is. But here's the key. If you're never opening this book and you're never reading, you're never going to have those experiences. Right? You're never going to have those opportunities where the Holy Spirit just brings something alive in our hearts. That's what God's Word mixed with the Holy Spirit can do for each and every one of us. Speak directly to our hearts. Church, I'm serious. I do. I believe we're in difficult seasons. It's a bad time. And I don't sense that things are going to necessarily get better from a spiritual climate. And so you and I need to have a word from God each day. That's what Jesus said in his prayer that he taught us. Give us this day our daily bread. So as good as the sermons were Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you need a word for this week. As this sermon is as good as it is, but you're going to need a word for tomorrow. You're going to need a word for Tuesday. You need to be getting fed daily by God's Word. That is I believe with everything in me, that's the way we're going to get through the season and the time in which we're living. We've got to have a word from God. Otherwise, if you're watching what's happening in the world today, I don't know how you'll make it. No wonder why mental health issues are just off the charts. How would they not be? We're watching the world crumble. I saw an article this week, a true story. Like, sometimes I just think it's fake and you don't know what you read, but I did a little research that a man who thinks he's a woman... No, a woman who thinks she's a man had a baby. So they're saying that the man had a baby, but she's a woman. She just thinks she's a man. And her partner is a man who thinks she's a woman and is trying to breastfeed the child. And the child's going hungry. And they're surprised that the man who thinks she's a woman can't produce milk for the child. What about that child? That's where we're living. I don't know if you know what's going on. And we can scoff at that and, that's funny. It used to be funny. It's not funny anymore. It's not funny. If you're a Christian, it's not funny. Oh, that happens in this. It's not funny anymore. It's happening on your watch. It's happening on your watch. You and I will stand before eternity one day and say, this would happen on your watch. You're the Christians. You're the ones with the power of the Holy Spirit. You're the ones with the Word of God. You're the one who I've given full authority and power to. Tread upon scorpions and serpents, all manners of the devil. You're the one that I've declared, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. It's you I've given the power and the authority to. It's happening on our watch. Come on. I know that sounds strong, but it's just the reality. It's just the reality. And it's happening in many ways because we don't know who we are in Christ. We don't know. We're just sitting back and we're being told things on TV and we're being told things from media and we're being squeezed into a box and we're following it hook, line, and sinker. That's who we believe we are. While all the while, this book speaks amazing, supernatural things about you, gives you access to things that you have no idea. There is a table, like David said, that's been prepared in the presence of your enemies and ain't nobody coming to the table. The table is the Word of God. It's Christ himself, the living Word. And our responsibility is to come to the table. We've got to know who we are. Not some made-up phrases, not Christianese, false declarations of who we are. No, read it from the text. Read it in context. Understand who you are in Christ. The word for word in this passage in Hebrews, the Word of God. Notice it's in capital, or it's not here, but the Word is Christ for the Word of God. The word for word actually means logos or logos. It indicates an expression of a complete idea, and it is clearly referring, of course, to the Holy Scripture. I want you to see it this way as we get ready to close. The Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, the Bible as it is, serve two powerful purposes. On one hand, the Scriptures are the basis of truth, the final say on matters of morality. You see, we're in a time of moral confusion, moral contempt. We're in a time of moral chaos. So we don't need another argument about morality. We need to know what the truth of God says about morality. Today, you and I shouldn't be drawn in to these debates about what we think about moral issues. What do I think about a man trying to breastfeed a woman? Well, I mean, my mind, I'm not completely oblivious of an opinion. I have an opinion, but my opinion's not going to change anything. So what I should answer to that question is, what does God's Word say? Right? Are you following me? And if someone is opposed to that, it's understandable. I get it. You can be opposed to the Word of God. You have the freedom to do so. We're not going to force anyone to believe what God's Word says. But by golly, we ought to be telling them at least what God's Word does say. Shouldn't we? Not our opinion. Because what ends up happening, we become snarky. We become fleshly. We become unholy. We become unloving in our opinions, because we don't like those things. And it's revealed because, let's just be real, we have a problem with that, but if there's a heterosexual couple living in sexual fornication, we just don't really say much. Still sin, according to the Word of God. So the Word of God serves as the basis for truth, right? It's the basis, the final say on morality. How many believe that? That God's Word is the final say on morality. The scriptures instruct us, they guide us, they give us principles upon which we should build our life. That's one sense, and it's absolutely true. But because the word is Christ and it is a living word, like the author of Hebrews is saying, the scriptures also speak to us on a very personal level. Right? Like what we were talking about. The Holy Spirit will cause a portion of scripture to leap off the page. Like you'll be reading and all of a sudden like, man, that's for me. That's right now in the season that I'm in, that's exactly what I needed to hear. Has that ever happened to anyone in this room? Amen. Amen. Come on, put your hands together fast. It comes alive. And there's just, because he's God, he knows when you need it. The Holy Spirit knows when. It doesn't happen all the time. I understand that. That's why it's the basis. We still go to it because it's the basis of morality. It gives us the founding principles for how to parent, how to be a husband, how to be a wife, how to deal with problems, how to be a witness to others. I mean, all of the things that we ask, all of the questions, the scriptures have it. So we're constantly going to the Word of God. But as we're constantly going to the Word of God, sometimes the Holy Spirit comes and just boom, brings it alive. And it's fresh. It's right now. It's what you need in your specific situation. You have to believe. This book is unlike any other book on planet Earth. Amen. The Word of God. It's living. It's alive. It's full of energy. It's full of life. And the Holy Spirit knows when you need that word. And he knows how you need it. But our responsibility is making sure that we're taking time daily to search, read, and study the scripture. When we do, faith will begin to arise in our hearts. And all of a sudden, we won't worry about necessarily changing the world, but we'll have the faith to change those around us. We'll have the courage to speak boldly. And yes, there'll be some that don't want to hear it, and there'll be those that seemingly reject us, and it's okay, and we'll still love them, and we'll still honor them, but we'll move on, and we'll begin to invest into other people who do need to hear it and who do want to hear it. Anxiety will begin to diminish. If you're struggling with anxiety in the hour in which we live, I'm going to give you a prescription. Start reading the Word of God every day. Start reading the Word of God seriously every day. If you're dealing with depression and fear, I'm giving you a prescription. Start reading the Word of God daily, every day, seriously. And do it consistently. Don't give up when you don't feel like, oh, that's not working. I tried that 3 days in a row and it's not working. Keep going. Don't quit. Go week after week after week after week. And you watch and see if anxiety doesn't start to diminish. If fear doesn't start to subside. If a peace and a calm doesn't begin to settle in your hearts. I want to end with this passage in 1 Peter chapter 2. If you want to turn there, you can. 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 1 through 3. He says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes or babies, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. That's a prescription. That's a prescription for much of what ills us today. Notice what Peter is saying. If you will take, this is what he's speaking to all of us, including me. If we will take the time that we are wasting by engaging or listening or partaking, let me just say it again because it's, I know I'm digging a little bit and I'm going to stop as soon as I'm done digging here and then we're going to quit. Peter is saying to the Christians, if you will stop using your time or wasting your time, either engaging, listening, or partaking in malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking, and if you'll use that time to read the Word of God, you'll start to notice a change. So let me break that down because no one in this room right now feels like they deal with malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, or evil speaking. Let's make it there. Do you think there is malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and evil speaking on our media today? If you don't, you've been deceived. Of course. Come on now. I know. Joe, quick, come. Therefore, lay aside. Quit wasting your time with things that partake to malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking, gossip, slander, discord. When you want to slander someone or speak gossip, let me give you this. I hope this rings in your ear. You're going to hear my voice. When you want to gossip this week, I hope you hear this. Just keep your mouth shut and open the Bible for a while. Just go back to the Bible. Open the Bible before you speak. Open the Bible before you speak. If you want to engage in malice and things that are deceptive, where there's envy, instead of that, go to the Word of God. Just think of what would happen if Christian people, like I get it. I'm preaching to myself. If we spent as much time in our scriptures as we do in social media, are you telling me you don't believe? Could we not then begin to believe God for a revival? It happened for Nehemiah's generation. It happened in Josiah's generation. It happened in Nineveh. Come on, somebody. Why could it not happen in America in 2021, 2022? It's the prescription. It's the prescription. Instead of the Word of God coming to us and us simply rejecting it, maybe we just rewrite history and you say, the Word of God came to us and we received it and it changed us and the power of the Holy Spirit moved in our midst and we had revival. He says, desire, just like a newborn baby, desire the pure milk of God's Word. You know this. This is a great analogy for all of us. We know that a baby needs milk to survive. That's that. Think of that. That's the author. Peter is speaking in such a strong expression. It's not like, man, you guys should do devotions this week. You should read your devotions. It's really cool. He's like, you need to read the Bible or you're going to die. Like, that's what he's, right? That's the reference. He says, you should desire the Word of God the way a baby desires its mother's milk. Now, have you ever watched a child that's hungry? Come on, somebody. You've seen that, right? You know, that's every four-hour thing, or maybe it was two, and then it was four, and all of that. And if you miss, it wasn't our house, you miss by like 3 to 5 minutes. Is that the way you are with God's Word? I know I'm not. I'm not. And I'm believing God for a stirring in my heart for more of that. Because I know what I'm preaching is right. I'm not preaching to you that I'm living it all perfect. Because what I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself. And what I'm preaching to you, I'm believing God and praying behind the scenes without you knowing, is that God would revive in this church, in this congregation, a hunger and a love for His Word like we've never seen. That way, when we start here in a little bit to do small groups, we won't see small groups as some like kind of cliche. We'll see small groups as another outlet to read the Bible and study God's Word. When we talk about Tuesday nights and what we're offering, we won't see that as, oh, that's nice, our church offers this. No, we're not just offering it to you because we don't have anything else to do. We're trying to get you in the Word. We're trying to prepare you for what's coming. Right? When someone wants to get together, we get together for coffee and read the Word together. Develop relationships, right? Study the book. Get in the Word. That's what it's all for. And I'm praying that God will do that. And so much so, as you stand, let's go. Let's stand all over. So much so, I'm announcing today that starting next week, indefinitely until the Holy Spirit changes. We're going to go to the Bible. We're going to go to the book of Ephesians next week. We're going to start on chapter 1. And I don't know where we're going. We're going to go through the entire book of Ephesians. And then we're going to go through the entire book of Colossians. And then we're going to go through the entire... Are you following me? And I know some of you might get bored. It might not be enough. Maybe it's your cue. It's okay. But for this group, we're going to love God's Word. And we're going to let God's Word permeate into the soil of our hearts. Come on, somebody, say amen. Come on. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word, and we thank you that even the things we preach today are not possible unless you stir our heart. You have to stir our hearts. You have to give us a hunger, a love, a desire for your word and for the things of God. We pray for it now as a congregation, as a church. Stir our heart. We understand that your word is living, it's powerful, it's quick. It gives us the answers to all that we question. All of our heart's ills are found in the word of God. Help us today. Holy Spirit of God, stir our heart. Would you just begin all over the congregation, if you mean it, if you'll just lift your hands to Jesus as they sing, and just ask him now to give you a hunger for his word, a hunger for the word of God.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message. If you did, be sure to like and share to help spread God's word. If you would like to learn more about The Bridge, or if you'd like to give, you can visit our website at thebridge129.org. Again, thanks so much for worshiping with us. We'll see you next week.